John chapter 16, verse 7 through 11. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I am of righteousness, because I go to my Father and ye see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. May the Lord add his blessings to the reading of his word.
Yes.
Now, I want you to be tonight like the church that was praying for rain. They'd had a long dry spell. So they decided they would all meet in church and they would pray for the Lord to send rain. When the pastor got up to preach or to talk to them and to tell them that they were going to pray for rain, he looked back on the front seat and there was a small girl there. As laying beside her in her seat was a bright red umbrella. You see, some came to pray for rain, but she came expecting rain. So if we would come expecting, instead of coming and praying for a blessing, instead of coming and praying for God to touch us, come expecting that something is going to happen, that God would bless us and God would touch us. Now, if you would have listened very closely, my sermon would have already been preached. Brother Jerry got up here and he said, I'm so glad I heard my Savior gently pleading. In other words, I am so glad that the Savior called me. I am so glad that He pleaded with me to come to an altar of prayer and give my heart to Him. You know, I'm not only glad, but I'm glad when I went down to that altar and I said, God, in the name of Jesus, will you save me? You say, why did you get saved, Brother Newsom, at that time? I didn't worry about the benefits. I didn't worry about what God could do for me or how much He could do for me or how much He could bless me and all that. I got saved because I didn't want to go to hell. You say, don't talk like that. A preacher told my wife one time, she had called him about something, and she said something about people going to hell. And he said, Sister Newsom, don't talk like that. I can't even say that word. But I want to tell you, Brother Mike, the night the Lord saved me, I knew that I was on my way to a devil's hell, and there was nothing that I could do about it. What I want to tell you tonight, that I'm glad that I'm saved. Can I just testify to you a little bit? Can you just do like Brother Mike said, reflect on back to the place where you first received the Lord tonight and let Him take care of any problems that you might have? Will you do me a favor also? Will you not worry about that one that's sitting beside you as to whether they're going to receive something or not? Don't worry about that one that's in front of you or that one that's behind you. Just say, tonight, you use this as your night to reflect back on the day that you first received the Lord. I'm glad that I'm saved tonight. I'm glad that He's kept me for these 50 years. I'm glad that I'm just as saved as Brother Bobby was last week when he came down to this altar. You see, he came, Brother Mike, expecting the Lord to save him. He realized his need of a Savior, and he's just as saved as if he'd been saved for 50 years. When you're saved, saved, you're saved. When your sins are washed away, they're cast into the sea of God's forgetfulness, never no more to be remembered against you. God won't hold a thing against you that you have done. God is not a God that's sitting on the throne with a great big whip that will reach all the way down. God doesn't receive any pleasure out of punishing you. God receives a pleasure when He's able to bless you, when He's able to touch you. It pleases our God. When He has come, He'll make a difference in your life. I was thinking as I was kneeling in prayer, and I was thinking about Sister Newsom. You say, well, you can say a lot about Sister Newsom. I can tell you tonight that she's just as saved as she was over 60 years ago when the Lord came into her heart as a little child and she learned to play the guitar and sing with her mother in church. What are you saying, Brother Newsom? I'm saying that the God that saved us is able to keep us, and He's able to keep us from the world. He's not going to take us out of the world, but He'll keep us from the world. Brother Jerry saying, I'm so glad I heard my Savior gently pleading. Now I'm an heir and a child of God. I truly know. When I went to the altar, I got the lottery ticket. I got all the numbers just right. I got them just in line. They were lined up in a row and they were just exactly right. I got the thing that would keep me all of these years and will keep me until the pearly gates of heaven swing open and I'm able to walk in. He will give when he comes. He will give the world the most powerful means of conviction. You know, we're not too concerned about conviction anymore. But you know, I'm so glad that when I would lay my head on my pillow, I would feel conviction from the top of my head to the sole of my feet. I would worry about what I had done that day that would keep me out of heaven should the rapture of the church take place. God convicted me of my sins. Now I'm an heir and a child of God. I truly know. All the way home, His precious hand is daily leading, and it's a grand and a glorious feeling as I go. If it's a grand and glorious feeling to you today, wave your hand to the Lord and say it's a grand and a glorious feeling just to be a child of God. The devil's a dollar short and a day late when he tries to tell me I'm not saved. The devil's a day short, day late and a dollar short when he tries to tell me that I haven't been sanctified from the things of the world. And he's 1,000,000,000 years off when he tries to tell me that I didn't receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost that night, laying flat on my back and begin to speak in tongues as the Spirit of the Lord gave the utterance, as the Spirit of God gave the utterance. When He comes, He'll make a difference. When He comes, you will no longer be a bar hopper. Somebody say praise the Lord. When He comes, you'll no longer have to have something to give you a high. When He comes, you won't need to drink anything that dulls your mind and takes your mind off everything but God. But when He comes, He'll make a difference in your life. And you can say, I've been changed. I've been changed. I've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. How many can say that tonight? I'm glad I'm saved. And then Brother Bobby gets up here and he puts a little bit more fuel on the fire. Long years ago, a long time ago, I was out in sin. You say, Brother Nelson, were you all that bad? I was a good old boy. As far as my mom was concerned, I was the best thing that ever walked in shoe leather. You know, my mom couldn't save me. My mom, Sister Mary, couldn't see a heart that was blackened with sin, even though that I was a good old boy. My mom couldn't see the longing in my heart that I didn't want to be lost and undone without God. You see, my mom wasn't a Christian, but she still taught me right. She couldn't see that. But you know, the night that I got saved, I never shall, Brother Bobby just added to it, went out in sin. I had no hope. How many remember that day you didn't have any hope? How many remember that day that you didn't have any peace? How many remember that day when you couldn't lay your head on your pillow at night and get a good night's sleep? You had no hope, no peace within. But glory be to the Lord God Almighty. Down on your knees, hallelujah. Down on your knees in agony. You repented of the things that were bothering you. You told God you were sorry that you had ever sinned. And the Spirit, when He came, the power of God came down and put you through the blood, washed you in the blood, and saved you. And that night, you went home and you were able to sleep. I studied this week about the Lord blessing us. I studied about Balaam when Balak called him in and he wanted him to put a curse on the children of Israel. And he said, he talked to Balaam and he told Balaam, he said, how can I curse that God has not cursed? See, he told Balaam, he said, Balak, he said, I'll go and I'll build the altars, but there's one thing I will do, and one thing that I will say is I will do what the Lord commands me to do. Church, I believe that that's where we lose it sometimes. We forget to do what the Lord commands us to do. We hear the voice of God pleading with us. And I want you to reflect back to the time, whether it be 5 years, whether it be 10 years, whether it be just a month, whether it be just a day, to the time that the Lord came into your life and you said, Lord, if you'll save me, I'll serve you. And he went and he built his altars and he used enchantments. He used charms. He used different methods and different gimmicks to try to get an answer from the Lord. But then the Lord would always come back with a word that he was going to do, that Balaam was to do what he expected him to do, what he told him to do. You church, we listen to the enemy sometimes and we do what the enemy wants us to do instead of listening to God and saying no to the devil. That little sign that says on the back of cars, it says, say no to drugs. We as Christian people, I feel, have said no to the devil when we accepted the Lord as our Savior. All the methods. You can use all the tricks. And you can use everything that you want to use. But when it all boils down to it, you've got to go the way of the cross. Hallelujah. You've got to go the way of the Spirit. You've got to move as the Spirit moves upon you. You've got to move as God moves upon you. I feel carry on and there's not a bit of anointing in it. I get so tired of hearing preachers that don't preach with an anointing, don't feel the power of God in their hearts and in their lives. And a lot of them don't even know what they're preaching about. If I tell you that I bake the cake, and I do sometimes, and I bake the cake, I can't tell you that it's good until I taste it. If I make hot dog sauce, I can't tell you that it's good until I taste it. Lombardi's has a sign down there, best hot dog sauce in town. But I got news for them. Sister Janet Varney's got them beat. There's places in town that will tell you we've got the best to make you happy. We've got the best. Boy, what we've got really take your mind off of things. But they don't tell you the side effects. Seven weeks ago, my doctor, my cholesterol was 129. And my doctor put me on cholesterol medicine. I took it for 6 weeks, and the side effects, it took my cholesterol down to 100. But you know what? I got up one morning and my right shoulder was hurting me all the way down to my wrist. And I prayed and I began to talk to God. I said, God, what's causing this? God, I need you to touch me. All of a sudden, Sister Alice, that cholesterol medicine came on my mind. I went in and took it out of my pill box where I take my vitamins and things, and I put it back in the bottle where it belonged. And when 2 days later, I didn't have a pain one in my arm. Let me tell you something. Everybody in this world don't know what's best for you. My cholesterol may kill me, But there's one thing that I can't do. I can't take cholesterol medicine. And there's a lot of things that will destroy me if I let it. There's a lot of things that may give me a little bit of pleasure. But in the long run, the side effects will get the best of me. Let me tell you something. You may enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, but you'll never get away from the side effects of it. I got a whole bunch up there, but I just wanted to testify a little bit to you tonight. I remember sitting in my desk at the post office one day. I had had surgery on my right ear, and I couldn't get rid of it. And you say, what are you doing? I want to tell you what God has done for me. I was sitting there, every day it'd start bleeding just a little bit. I'd go to the doctor, and he'd do something to it, and it would stop for a day or two. Then I'd go back to work, and it would do the same thing. My pastor called me as I was sitting there at my desk, and he said, Brother Albert, I've just been praying for you. And I said, I appreciate it, and hung up the phone. And Sister Joanne, I thought that if he was praying for me, God must be going to do something for me. I've never been back to the doctor for that ear since. And that was in 1976. But you know, I don't serve Him because of that. I don't serve Him because He gave my daughter, when she was born, and they said she would be just a vegetable, and God touched her and healed her. I don't serve Him because my other daughter was in the hospital, and they run every kind of test in the world on her. And I took her to church one night, and the preacher said, bring that baby up here. And God healed her. You know why God healed her? God healed her because her mom and I served Him. Hallelujah. The preacher said, this is your child. This is your servant. And that's your baby laying back there in that operating room. Now would you just come down and touch her? And the next time that I saw her, she was kicking and screaming and crying, and she hasn't shut up since. Long years ago, went out in sin. I had no hope, no peace within. Down on my knees in agony, I prayed to Jesus, and He gladly set me free. He set me free. And then Brother Michael gets up there, and he says, Lord, would you just take me back? I don't know about you, but I listen to singing. It's more than music. And I thought while he was singing, Lord, tonight, when I finish my sermon, would you take everybody here in this building back to the place where they first received you? Will you go sing, I Remember the Day When the Lord Saved Me? I remember the day when the Lord save me. Somebody go help her. Anybody wants to go help her? I want you to go back. And I want you to look in the mirror of time. And I want you to reflect on what you felt that night that the Lord saved you. And then I want you to check your life and say, am I just as saved as I was that night? Am I just as saved as I was when I left the hog pen? I wonder if we realize where we used to be and to where we are now. We used to eat what the hogs eat. We used to eat that was intended for the swine. We used to live in a terrible looking place. We were in the wilderness. Balaam got down on his knees the third time that he was to build the 7 altars. He got down on his knees, and the Bible said he saw the children of Israel in their tents. And realized at that moment that God wanted to bless them. He realized that God was desiring to bless His people. Go ahead and sing anytime you want to. He realized that God wanted to bless His children. He realized that God was pleased with blessing them and no longer wanted to put a curse upon them. And then the Bible says that the Spirit of the Lord came upon him and he began to prophesy. My Lord and my God, every one of us in here could stand up and say, I'm so glad that the Lord has saved me. I'm so glad that the Lord has sanctified me. I'm so glad that there's a cross that I have to bear. I'm so glad for Calvary. I'm so glad for the Son of God on that cross. And as He said, Lord, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He was praying for you and me. Look back to the cross tonight. Look back to the place where you once was. But think about the place where you are now. You're in the sanctuary of God. You're in the presence of an Almighty God.
I was happy and free.
Glory fill my soul.
Glory fill.